Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, hello everyone, and welcome to a special edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's Survivor Series Recap. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next 90 minutes, we will be discussing what happened last night at the WWE's big Survivor Series pay-per-view at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room. And we can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. My thoughts on this are so many, I don't really know where to begin. So rather than to just blurt them all out, let me organize them into sections. And let's start with the pre-show. We didn't know what we were getting from the pre-show. There are a couple of matches here that I don't remember being advertised. One being the Tag Team Battle Royal, which featured tag teams from Raw, SmackDown, and NXT in a Brand Supremacy Battle Royal. That was won, of course, by Dolph Ziggler and Bobby Roode. And NXT didn't look too good in this one. I mean, they were all out early. And I would have to say that it kind of set a tone for how things were going to go with Raw as well. But that's for we'll discuss that a little bit later. Leo Rush defended his belt against Akira Tozawa. I don't even remember who he defended it against. Kira Tozawa not Sin Cara, but Todd, who was it that he defended him against? Why am I blanking?
It's Kalisto.
Kalisto. I didn't even know Kalisto was on a brand anymore. And last I checked, Akira Tozawa was 205 Live, but apparently he's now on Raw after one match. This was not a brand supremacy thing. This is ridiculous. But Leo Rush wins, so it counts toward NXT, which is weird. Very weird. Now, both of these matches were okay. I mean, the Tag Team Battle Royal thing was a little rushed. I think that the three-way was fine. And then to my surprise, we get the Tag Team Brand Supremacy match on the pre-show. Viking Raiders, New Day, Undisputed Era. And I really thought the New Day would win this. Especially when, you know, backstage the New Day was talking about we're the longest reigning tag team champions in history and this and that. And I'm saying to myself, yeah, you know, it's true. But now we know why, don't we? Now we know why the New Day did not win. Because if the Viking Raiders did not win, Raw would have had a total goose egg. A total goose egg. Raw's lone win all night long was on the pre-show. Pre-show. That's unbelievable. Unbelievable. And I think it speaks volumes. Now, granted, some of Raw's top stars were not involved in brand loyalty sort of matches. That's for sure. But nonetheless, this was obviously set up to be Raw is no longer the A show. This was set up to very clearly underline the fact that, yes, Raw is no longer our main focus. As a matter of fact, you would assume it's their third focus. You would assume it's their third focus. I could not believe it. Todd, what do you think of the match?
Match and everything, like you said, Although, like you said, with Raw, it's like no longer an A show. It's like a C show now. Like now they're like the bottom guys for some reason.
I was shocked. I really was. Because I figured, you know, this is going to be one of these situations where somebody's going to get three and then the other ones will get two. It'll be really close. It'll be really close. They're going to try to stretch this out. It's pretty much even. No, they did not. Amazing. Really amazing to me. So let's jump right into it here. Obviously, Raw won the first match that I thought mattered. I didn't know the Lio Rush thing was there going on, but whichever. And we start with the Women's Survivor Series elimination match. And my first takeaway from this is Kairi Sane looks a hell of a lot better in her new gimmick than this pirate thing she was doing. And there was a few legitimately great moments in this match and a few really interesting matchups that I thought was very good. But I'm telling you right now, there's two mistakes in this match, which I hope the WWE somehow corrects, but I don't know how they're going to do it. One is, I don't know who is telling Rhea Ripley to look like she's scared to get in the ring. But if you're the size of Rhea Ripley and you're coming with the attitude that she's supposed to come with, and certainly showed up at NXT with it, didn't she? When she faced off against Shayna Baszler, Rhea Ripley's looking terrified to get in the ring. I don't know who told her to do that. Who told her to look scared of everybody? That's a mistake. And it's a big one, but it's not the biggest one. The biggest one is, I understand we talked about it ad nauseum yesterday, that there was absolutely no way you could eliminate 12, 13 people unless the match was a half hour long. And to their credit, the WWE did give these matches time, but the eliminations sometimes were contrived, such as when two members of NXT were supposedly hurt and taken backstage. Supposedly eliminating them. But then we get two very odd things. We get Sasha Banks, for whatever reason, eliminating Natty, which doesn't seem to make sense when you could have joined forces and made sure that Rhea Ripley was out. She's obviously bigger and whatever. And then the second one is that these girls come back down. They're not eliminated. Now, granted, they didn't, claim they were the survivors. But where was the other? Where was Raw and SmackDown's women? This made Rhea Ripley and NXT and the women's division look like heels. And I didn't think that's what you wanted to do. That victory looks like a cheap heel victory of, okay, well, you know what? We played like we were injured. We're not eliminated, by the way, I guess. We're not eliminated. We can stay out of the ring for 15 minutes and we're not eliminated. I didn't get that. So Rhea Ripley wins. Her team survives. Okay. But unfortunately, rather than to make people say, gee, I'm really interested in watching NXT because this women's division looks great, I think it might have had the opposite effect and had people say, well, this division is so weak, they had to have three people to beat a 5-foot-tall, 100-pound girl. That's not the message you want to send if you're the NXT women's division, when, in fact, you really are the best of the three divisions. It just should have been a decisive victory for the NXT women, and that's it. That's it. Of course, Charlotte Flair can't lose clean, so she has to have Asuka turn on her, and then Asuka walks away. How come Asuka can't come back? Asuka's still in the match, as far as I'm concerned. If the NXT girls are still in the match, then Asuka is. Because she wasn't pinned nor made to submit. I think it was a bad look for NXT. And it left a bad taste in my mouth because it would be like, you know what it would be like? It would be like saying, okay, well, we have this great division. We have these sensational athletes. And wait till you see them. They're going to blow your mind. And then they all look afraid to get in the ring, and they have to cheat to win, and they have to make it look like they're eliminated when they're not, in order to beat a 100-pound, 5-foot-tall girl. Rhea Ripley had a chance to make a name for herself last night by just simply beating Sasha Banks. Fair and square, just beat her. If that's the direction you want to go in, and you really want to push the NXT women's division, you didn't do that. You didn't do that at all. Because people are going to say, well, you didn't beat Charlotte. Basically, Asuka did. You didn't beat Asuka because she just walked away. And you couldn't even beat Sasha Banks without help from two other people. That doesn't make them look strong in any way, shape, or form. It makes them look weak. It makes them look timid, and it makes them look cowardly. And I don't know how that's what you want to do with your women's division, because that, Todd, is a huge, glaring mistake.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, technically, that match was not over. They just walked out on the match and like, okay. They should continue the match after they came back. They should came back and finish the match. And they just walk out like nothing happened.
Well, I don't even know if they were considered survivors. I don't know. I don't know if they were considered survivors or they were counted out. I don't know. If they were counted out and they came back, then they obviously cheated. If they were allowed back into the match, then Asuka's not eliminated. So once again, the rules make no sense. And once again, I think the WWE makes a blunder when they had the opportunity to highlight the women's division in NXT and prove to everyone, hey, you know, we got a great women's division over there. If you're into women's wrestling and you think AEW is good, or you think the WWE girls are good, look at these girls. If you'd not seen those girls before, your takeaway is going to be the big one is scared to get in the ring. And she couldn't beat Sasha Banks at 5 foot tall. Nobody pinned Asuka. Charlotte Flair had to be attacked by her own teammate in order to be eliminated. Two other girls just kind of ran away and then came back at the end, and they all look like a bunch of cowards. I don't like that at all. I don't like that. I think that that really undermined the NXT women's division, and I think that was a huge mistake. Huge mistake. But hey, so be it, right? I mean, in the wacky world of the WWE, somehow I think they think that promoted NXT women's division because they won. But every fan I talked to today said, what the hell was that? How come they were made to look like they were afraid and they were had to formulate a plan in order to win because obviously they don't have the skill to beat them? It just looked bad. It looked bad. And someone has to get to Rhea Ripley and tell her, just because these are WWE girls and you're in the big time here, you can't look like you're scared unless you're going to be a heel. If you're going to be a heel, then I don't know. But then even if you're going to be a heel, you're towering over most of these girls. I don't know how you're bugging your eyes out. Oh, my God, I got to get in the ring with Sasha Banks. That's not Braun Strowman you're getting in the ring with. This one left a little bit of a bad taste in my mouth because I was really hoping they would just let the NXT women show what they can do and say, look, they beat them. If you wanted to set up one thing, if you wanted to do the Asuka thing so we can get Asuka and Charlotte Flair, fine. But the rest of this was unnecessary. The fake injuries, the coming back at the end, the laughing about it. That's all heel stuff. Rhea Ripley's not a heel. Couple of those girls were in heels. Maybe they are now. I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, let's go to AJ Styles, Nakamura, and Roderick Strong because, well, was this one a surprise, huh? Roderick Strong picks up the victory off of AJ Styles' phenomenal forearm. what's the takeaway on this again, ladies and gentlemen? Oh, yes. NXT can't beat anybody on their own. Gotta have help. Gotta have help. What are you doing to NXT? If you have decided when you were planning this, NXT is going to get the win tonight. They're going to get the most wins. Could you at least let them show what they do and say they're actually quality athletes who got the win on their own and not, well, they're about the luckiest people on earth? Because at least two of these wins, the Leo Rush win, I don't even count. But at least two of these wins, the two I've just talked about, doesn't make fans of NXT think that NXT athletes are superior to WWE or even equal. It makes them look like they're cheaters. And I don't think that's what the message you want to send. Maybe with Roderick Strong, you want to send that message. But I, for the life of me, I don't know why you would want to. Because he has nothing to prove. It's not like people walked away saying, boy, that Roderick Strong, was he great last night. I guess I'll have to watch NXT. The takeaway from people who don't watch NXT that I talked to was, I don't know who that guy was, but I mean, he wouldn't have won nothing if it wasn't for AJ Styles. It's not the right way to promote. I'm telling you, it's not. Nobody's saying, oh, got to watch NXT. Based on those wins, let them have a win. I'm not against Roderick Strong winning, then just win. You want to cheat to win, cheat to win, but don't match what happened last night, the night before at NXT. You already did that with Pete Dunne. And now you repeat the exact same thing. The exact same thing. Didn't care for it, Todd. I thought it sent the wrong message.
I'm actually right there, like you said. I didn't care for it either. It just sends like a wrong message there. If you're an NXT guy, if you want them to win, don't have them to come out to help them cheat to win the match. It's just ridiculous.
I just think it sends the wrong message. And that message is, yeah, we know we're not as good, so we formulated a plan to cheat to victory because God knows we could never beat the top superstars here. I don't like that. If you want to make them a real division and not just minor leagues of the WWE, you got to show, no, these people are legit. Neither one of those victories were legit victories. Neither one. So where's the cred? You know what I mean? I don't like it. And then you did it on purpose because you know that people are piping things into the headsets of the announcers, and the announcers are saying, well, they just flat out cheated. Well, I don't even count that as a victory. Well, that's horrible. Well, that's ridiculous. They did, you know. You're telling them to say that, so that's the impression you want fans to come away with. Why? Why? Wouldn't it have been better if Roderick Strong just said, well, won, and Nakamura or whatever, you know, Sami Zayn, or even AJ Styles said, well, I guess I underestimated him. You know, he was the overlooked guy, and we got burned by him. The debut of Rhea Ripley should have been, I know she's debuted before, but this is big time on a pay-per-view. This Rhea Ripley thing should have been like, wow, she took out two or three people. Took out nobody. One at the end, one, with help. Remember when The Undertaker was at the Survivor Series? How would it have been if he looked like he was afraid to get in the ring? And then when he got in the ring, he couldn't beat nobody, except his teammates came back down and beat somebody half to death, and then he was able to pin him. Would you have said, oh my God, that guy's going to be fearsome? Or would you have said, that guy sucks? See, that's the thing. The Undertaker got in and started demolishing people. Rhea Ripley should have got in and eliminated a couple of people. If she's going to make an impact. I have no faith she's going to make any impact because it didn't look like she could handle anybody. I just think it sends a wrong message. I know their NXT fans are happy. Oh, yeah, we won. Yeah, but come on, man. You want your federation to look like they're equal to at least Raw and SmackDown. And the numbers belie what happened because two of these victories don't look like they had a snowball's chance in hell unless they cheated. And the third one, well, come on now. You think Akira Tozawa bleeds raw red? I don't. So that was kind of hopeless. So let's go to Cole and Dunn. Great match. Once again, a little bit disappointed, and I'll tell you why. Dunn's patched up. He's got his knee patched up. Cole's patched up. He's got his ribs patched up. And all the announcers all night long kept saying is, you got to understand what they went through last night. You got to understand what they went through last night. Did you see what they went through last night? They went through hell last night. They can't be 100%. They're not going to be able to do this. They can't possibly do this. All the athletes, that's what they said about them. All of them. Well, then Adam Cole is Superman. Then Adam Cole is Braun Strowman or The Fiend. Except he's 5'8" and 146 pounds. Not that Pete Dunne isn't. You jumped the shark. It's okay for Adam Cole to win. It's not okay for them to have all of these supposed high impact moves on their injuries only to say, I'm fine. Can't stop me. I'm invincible. I'm Superman. They may as well, both of them, Pete Dunne and Adam Cole, might as well be The Fiend, I guess, right? They're unstoppable. You can't injure them. It's impossible. Except they look, both of them, like if you sneezed on them, they would break. So I'm not a fan of that. Both of these guys should have wrestled a much slower paced match and really sold their injuries as if, man, I shouldn't even be in this ring. Neither one of us should be in this ring. But we're gutting it out because we're gutty. That should have been the message, not injuries. What injuries? I'm Superman. Good match, not a great match. Bad psychology. And at the end of the day, all of the good work that they did last night, or the night before last, I should say, at War Games vanishes because you say, oh, well, that ain't no big deal. I've seen Adam Cole go through all of this stuff, and he was fine the next night. So how am I supposed to take it seriously the next time Mauro Ranallo says, oh, my God, his brains killed him? How am I supposed to take that seriously? I won't. So now it comes from, wow, they went through hell last night. That Adam Cole and Tommaso Ciampa risked everything last night. It was just it was a trick and they did it well. They pulled a good trick. Neither one of them really suffered from it. They're fine. So you had the opportunity to play with the fans a little bit and say, look, that may have looked like Adam Cole and Tommaso Ciampa hit it well, but Adam Cole's not well. And Tommaso Ciampa's not well either. Because when you're a pro wrestler, even though it's quote-unquote predetermined, injuries happen when you have high risk like this. That's how you play to smart fans. You know, smart fans say, oh, I thought he was okay, but I don't really think he is. I think he hurt himself for real. And he's gutting it out, but it's not the same Adam Cole, you can tell. He's gutting it out, but it's not the same Cole. Same way with Pete Dunne. I think Pete Dunne's leg really did get injured in that match because you could tell he wasn't. No, they didn't do anything like that. They were just like, nope, I'm fine. Worry about me. Don't be silly. I'm the Incredible Hulk. I hate when wrestling misses chances to play with the minds of the intelligent fan, because there are more intelligent fans than unintelligent fans. And I would have loved to have seen today, man, would I have loved to have seen that match if they were both healthy, but you could tell they were both hurt after War Games, man. You could tell that was real. You could tell that pain was real. You had the chance to do that. And you shrugged it off. So I don't ever want to hear another fan say, oh, Seth Rollins don't sell. He gets beat up by the Fiend and the next night he's fine. Well, Adam Cole got the hell beat out of him. Next night he's fine. Pete Dunne got the hell beat out of him. Next night he's fine. Tommaso Ciampa got the hell beat out of him. Next night he's fine. So that's the new thing in wrestling now. Don't sell what happened last night, because that's last night. Oh, you can tape your ribs up. You can tape your knee up. You can wear that tape. But it's okay. No, they suffered bruised ribs. Okay, if you suffered bruised ribs and you got kicked in the ribs, the match is over. So could you not plan a match around Adam Cole trying to protect his ribs and Pete Dunne trying to protect his knee? And not say, oh my God, he's targeting the ribs. He smashed him with this and smashed him with that, but he's fine. Because then I no longer can suspend my disbelief and I'm just sitting here saying, yeah, this is a performance and they're fine. They're good athletes, but I'm not interested because at this point they're not even selling what they did last night. So why should I worry about what they do tonight? So I'm a little disappointed in that. I really am. Mike, first off, happy birthday. Second off, what do you think?
I'm really disappointed in that as well. But on the whole, here's the thing. You know, we know what Triple H's goal is. And that's why the records ended up being what they were. You know?
I agree.
NXT ended up with the best record out of the three of them because Triple H doesn't want those other two to look good enough so that when Vince does eventually step back and go into retirement or pass on or whatever it is, that he said he can say this and, well, there you go. That's why the records were on the whole what they were.
Yeah, I mean, listen, but the only thing is it still makes NXT look like, well, we can't win unless we cheat, unless we're fighting each other. So I don't see how it made NXT look like world beaters. It made them look like cheaters. And I was really hoping, what I was hoping last night is someone would stand out. I was hoping Rhea Ripley would get in the ring and eliminate four people. Well, you say, holy shit. Who's that girl? Did you see the size of that girl? Did you see what she can do in the ring? Oh, my God. Where's this girl wrestle? Oh, NXT? I'm going to have to watch NXT. Who is that girl? Nope. Instead, she's cowering. She's the team captain, but she won't get in the ring. When she does get in the ring, her eyes are wide like, oh, my God, I'm in there against Braun Strowman when it's a 5-foot-tall Sasha Banks. But she's not scared of Shayna Baszler. That's frustrating. Or you could have told the story that Nakamura and AJ Styles were continuing their feud and they were consistently and totally ignoring Roderick Strong like he was a nobody, and Roderick Strong pulls an upset. But a clean one. So people could say, hey, that guy was pretty good, man. They shouldn't have ignored him. No, he's a cheater. Well, I know he's a heel, but still, come on. So is AJ Styles and so is Nakamura. And again, I'm a big Pete Dunne fan. But Pete Dunne did very little to sell his leg. Once or twice in the match he did, and then he got right back up. I don't know what this new philosophy is about, okay, last night I took a chair and repeatedly bashed your elbow 750 times, and then I hit it with a sledgehammer, and then I ran it over with a monster truck. and you had to be hauled out of the arena screaming in agony. Monday night, you're doing handstands on that arm. And if you remember, could you just clutch it after you do the handstand and be like, oops, ow, that hurts. That's dumb. And that's very poor wrestling logic. Very poor. And I'm surprised at both Dunn and Cole that they didn't say, yeah, you know what? Let's plan a match a little more around me trying to protect my ribs. And obviously not being 100% in any capacity. In other words, I'm not going to do what I do in NXT. I'm not going to take punishment that nobody on earth could take and kick out at two. Just don't give me that punishment. And you do the same thing, and I won't give you that punishment. Because otherwise, everything we did last night is going to look fake. Everything we did last night is going to be for nothing, and people are going to say, oh, big deal. They were fine the next night. And the next time something big like that happens, fans aren't going to cheer because they're going to say, oh, I've seen it. They're okay. See, that's my point. If Adam Cole came out there last night with Pete Dunne and both of them were not okay, and it was real obvious they were not okay, we would have forgiven a lame match. We would have said, well, what do you want from these guys? Pete Dunne can barely walk. Adam Cole can't breathe. They went through hell. The announcers could say the same thing. All that does is help NXT because they could say, look, did you see what these guys went through last night? They shouldn't even be in the ring. But the only reason they are is because that's how determined they are. Nope, they were fine. So the next time you see these big high spots, fans are just going to be like, yeah, whatever. No biggie. They're fine. Didn't affect them then. Why would it affect them now? So we no longer can suspend our disbelief. That's the problem. And that's a huge problem. And I expected more out of both of these guys. So, yes, I'm disappointed. Let's go to The Fiend and Daniel Bryan. I don't know what this deal is with The Miz trying to warn Daniel Bryan that The Fiend, for the good of our children, needs to be destroyed because he's demonic and satanic. And he's this. I don't know where that's going. What I do know is the WWE took our advice, but they did it too soon. The Daniel Bryan we saw last night should have been the Daniel Bryan that came back to fight The Fiend after he was demolished. The Daniel Bryan that fed off the Yes Movement finally and said, yes, I'm embracing the Yes Movement again. That's who I really am. Bray Wyatt opened up my eyes with that beating he gave me, The Fiend gave me, because I was torn between who I was, but I know who I am now. Then you would have had that. No, let's do it right now. And, oh, by the way, let's make The Fiend look like, 80% of the match is Daniel Bryan, and then he just sticks his fingers in your mouth, and it's over. Fiend is going to get unexciting quick. I can see this coming. Not working anymore. It's not working because you're not handling it right. Simple as that. It's not working because you're not handling it right. Last night, Daniel Bryan should have took one for the team and just been demolished. So people could have said, oh, my God, that's Daniel Bryan that got demolished. That's not a nobody, okay? The Fiend just took out Daniel Bryan like he was nothing. Who the hell could ever stop anybody like that? Daniel Bryan took Brock Lesnar to the limit. And the Fiend walked through him like nothing. Because you could have brought Daniel Bryan back later saying I was, I didn't have my heart and soul in that match because I'm torn between who I really am. The Miz is right. I was, trying to fluctuate between two different people and two different styles. And Bray Wyatt saw that. He took advantage of it. Won't happen again. That's all. Now, instead, we'll take The Fiend to the limit and okay. And then something as simple as, I'm just going to stick my fingers in your mouth and it's over. All right. We'll wait and see what happens when The Fiend isn't that popular anymore. Because guess what? Half that crowd was chanting for Daniel Bryan. Were they doing that with Seth Rollins? Were they doing that with anybody else? No, they were all for The Fiend. Now all of a sudden it's, maybe The Fiend ain't as cool as we thought he was. You're mishandling it. Continue to mishandle it, and by this time next year, there won't be a Fiend, Mike.
Right, and that's the thing. You mishandled everything. I mean, look, going back to the injury thing with Pete Dunne and Adam Cole, it's not just the simplest things should have hurt Adam Cole. Every time you throw him into the ropes, those are not just plastic things. Those are metal under plastic, right? So
steel cable.
So, yeah, cable under plastic. Every time he hits those ropes, it should have hurt him, you know? And I'm surprised they didn't do the whole thing, throw him into the corner and have Pete Dunne. I know Pete Dunne's not known as a puncher, but wouldn't you have had him throw him into the corner and start to work on those ribs by punching him, you know, by, you know, working the body? Wouldn't you have – that would have been a logical thing to do.
I agree. What I would love to have seen last night was for something to happen where both men were really injured. Look, Pete Dunne's leg or knee and Adam Cole's ribs, and they just fell outside the ring and simply could not get back in. Where you say, okay, it's a double count out, but my God, these guys, you know, what heart and determination they showed, they shouldn't even been out here. And then people would have said, maybe they really were hurt. I mean, Adam Cole took a hell of a bump there, man. Maybe he did get hurt. And Pete Dunne, his leg was worked over a little bit, and he did get it landed on weird in that match. Maybe, you know, maybe they were hurt. Then you play with the minds of the smart fans. Because smart fans are going to say, oh, well, see, they were hurt. They took high risk at NXT. That's why I love NXT. They take high risk. And sometimes it doesn't pay off because, look, did you see what? The Survivor Series, they're both of them are really hurt. Nope. No, they're both fine. So how high risk can it be? They're fine. See, that's the problem. You got to sell it. More than just saying, oh, that's right. My ribs are supposed to be hurt. Let me go, ooh. It's not enough. It's not enough. I expected a real psychological battle between Pete Dunne and Adam Cole, and all I got was high spots. Forget I'm hurt. We're doing high spots. High spot, high spot, high spot, high spot, high spot. Ending. And then I'll just stand up like I'm fine because I'm Superman. So I don't want to hear anybody complain about Seth Rollins when he does it if you're not going to complain about Adam Cole. Those type of things where you don't look like you're injured after this does not belong on people that size. It belongs on Braun Strowman. It belongs on The Undertaker. It belongs maybe on The Fiend, somebody with a gimmick like that. Brock Lesnar looked more hurt last night than Adam Cole. I want you to think about that, all you Brock Lesnar haters. Brock Lesnar sold his fight, which wasn't much. We'll get to that in a minute. He sold his injuries more than Adam Cole or Pete Dunne. That's amazing. So, Todd, I like both of these guys, but I was a little disappointed in this match.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said, with Cole and Dunne there. And like you said, I just don't like how they booked that match. It was like they're like impervious to pain throughout the whole thing.
That's what it is. That's why it doesn't work. I will say this, however. I should have said, I think I did say about the women's Survivor Series match. Make sure you keep the Kabuki Warriors looking that way. Way better look for them. Way better look. And number two, I was really glad to see Sarah Logan back. I really honestly think you're missing the boat if you do not press and push Sarah Logan a little bit further. I think you're missing the boat. I really do. She's got a good look. She's different. Her offense is different than most. And I knew she wasn't going to win or anything, and I didn't expect her to. But I think from this point forward, I'd like to see you go ahead and run with her a little bit, because I think she's an interesting character and one that could catch on, Mike.
Yeah, I do too. And look, I could have told you that NXT, once those two women had to leave because of so-called, quote, injuries, I could have told you NXT was going to win that match.
Right.
You know, and then of course, playing to the heel aspect of the Kabuki Warriors, once got eliminated, and then her partner Asuka flat out left. I like that because that plays to the heel aspect of their nature, the supposed heel aspect of Asuka's nature. Oh. My partner's no longer here. I don't care. I'm gonna leave. I'm gonna leave you high and dry. You know? I like that.
Yeah, I like it too, except that then she's not, if the other girls aren't eliminated, then neither is Asuka, because she didn't get pinned and she didn't get made to submit, so I guess she's still in the match. That's a little strange. Okay, let's go to I guess we'll go to Brock Lesnar and Rey Mysterio. This was a very strange match. I heard from several people how much they loved this match. Oh, this was a great match. This was a money match. I don't know what match you're watching. If you're a professional wrestler and you think this was a money match, get out of the business today. Today, get out of the business, because you have no idea what you're doing and you don't belong in a ring. Number one, there's no story to tell. The story is Rey Mysterio is a wimp who cannot defend his family. He had to run and get Cain Velasquez, who he thought could defend his family, because he's not man enough to do it, but Cain Velasquez failed. Rey Mysterio was then coward-forced into a corner where he says, well, I guess I'll have to do it myself or I'll look like a pussy. Realizes I can't do it with my skill and my talent and my years and years and years and years and years and years of experience, so I'll have to carry a lead pipe. When I can't use the lead pipe, I'm totally helpless and at the absolute mercy of Brock Lesnar. However, Daniel Bryan wasn't at the absolute mercy of Brock Lesnar, and he's about Rey Mysterio's size. And Rey Mysterio's, oh, I don't know, about 20 pounds lighter than Seth Rollins, and Rollins beat him three times. Three times. Rey gets no high-flying offense because I don't know why, because Ray's only one of the top aerial athletes of all time, and he gets a zero in. Dominic runs down, and I say, this is the spot. This is what's going to happen. Here we go. He's either going to turn on Ray, which I thought might happen, or he's going to definitely help Ray beat Brock Lesnar. Brock's losing this match. Two nut shots. And a double 619 ain't enough. Because after all, you're only Rey Mysterio. Who are you? But Seth Rollins can polish you off. If I was Rey Mysterio, I would quit. Because what has ended up happening now is Rey Mysterio's career has been reduced to I am a absolute wuss. I can't defend my son. I can't defend my honor. I can't defend my legacy. And Brock Lesnar is Godzilla, who no one in the world can beat except apparently Seth Rollins. What story did you tell? Where's the story? That's all I want to know. Where's the story? Because the story's supposed to be Rey Mysterio was injured and couldn't fight Brock Lesnar on his own. So he went and got Cain Velasquez. Cain Velasquez could not get the job done. Rey Mysterio healed and said, if it's the last thing I do, Brock Lesnar's going down. And then fails. Even with his son's help, fails. Okay. Well, then there's the end of the story. Rey Mysterio is not good enough. That's the story. Rey Mysterio's legend is exaggerated. Rey Mysterio can't even hold a candlestick to Brock Lesnar. The story should have been Rey Mysterio takes a beating and then starts to come back with all these high-flying offensive moves that Brock Lesnar has never seen before. And Brock Lesnar's never had to deal with before, and Brock Lesnar got tired. And when Brock Lesnar got tired and he's sucking for air and Rey Mysterio's bouncing around like a rubber ball in a room, Brock Lesnar's in trouble, deep trouble. And when it looks like Rey Mysterio is going to win, but Brock is going to cheat, Brock grabs the lead pipe. And you say it's going to be Brock who needs the lead pipe, apparently. Dominic runs down and in some way, shape, or form tries to grab the lead pipe, ends up hitting Rey accidentally. Rey gets pinned and Dominic is, I'm sorry, I blew it. I was trying to get my pound of flesh in against Brock Lesnar. And I accidentally cost my dad an opportunity, because then you know what it does? It makes Rey look like, well, it doesn't matter. I had Brock where I wanted him. And everybody knows that Brock was heading down. He had to grab a pipe to deal with me. And my son came down to try to help me, which I'm glad. And okay, it didn't work out. But you know what? I feel vindicated. I showed Brock Lesnar he can't mess with my family. That's the story that you're supposed to tell. Instead, you tell the story that this is a wimp who cannot defend his family. I know that you've been told for 20 years he is the absolute apex of lucha wrestling, and he is an absolute legend of the business, and he has defeated even the Big Show. Remember? Remember when he defeated the Big Show? But not Brock. Not without a pipe. This destroyed the legend of Rey Mysterio. And if you don't think so, and you're in the professional wrestling business, you're probably adult. Mike, I don't know what else to say.
Right, and look, what happened when, AJ lost to Brock Lesnar, but what happened when AJ fought Brock Lesnar? AJ outquicked him in a lot of the match. Now, Brock Lesnar won the match, but he outquicked him, and we lauded Brock Lesnar because of, apparently, it's not just the fact that he sold the guy, it's the fact that he, you know, his face changed color and all that stuff, and he showed that he was being outquick. You're telling me that AJ, that Brock, you know, that that Rey Mysterio Jr. couldn't have done that. AJ's supposed to have been healthy, right?
Yep.
For that match, right?
Yep.
I mean, his health is a... Yeah, and he's 44 years old, which is only slightly older than AJ, right? So, I mean, this is supposed to be a guy who's supposed to be able to outquick most big time, you know, most heavier guys. And Brock Lesnar is what, 290, 280, whatever they say he is, you know. So he's supposed to be able to outquick the man. Why didn't you allow him to do that? Why didn't you want him to do that? You know,
that's the problem, Mike. Did AJ Styles need a pipe? No. Did Daniel Bryan need a pipe? No. Even Seth Rollins didn't need a pipe. He needed a nut shot, which I guess Brock Lesnar is now immune to. The nut shot worked for Seth Rollins. Didn't work for Rey Mysterio and Dominic. It's not that Brock Lesnar winning bothers me. It's that you told no story. There's no story except Rey Mysterio fails to defend his family's honor. That's not a great story when Rey Mysterio is a legend. The story should have been Rey Mysterio gave Brock Lesnar every single thing he wanted, and Brock Lesnar had to resort to grabbing that pipe because he knew he was out of gas. He knew Rey was not out of gas. Rey was coming at him like a tornado, and Brock Lesnar was spent, and Brock Lesnar, in a cowardly act, grabbed a pipe, and he was going to wail Rey Mysterio with it, and Dominic tried to prevent it and inadvertently cost his dad the match. But at the end of the day, we all know Rey Mysterio defended his son's honor, his family's honor, and Brock Lesnar walked out of that ring knowing who the hell Rey Mysterio was. That's not what happened. That's not what happened. How come we're cheering the guy that has to bring a pipe to a fist fight? It's just ridiculous, that's all. It's just ridiculous. How come Daniel Bryan didn't bring a pipe to fight the Fiend? Maybe he should have brought a pipe, huh? Anyway, let's go to the men's Survivor Series match. This is a pretty good match, except for the fact that the fans hated it. And the reason the fans hated it is because the fans have decided at this point, we give up on WWE. We haven't seen anything all night that we really liked. Saw a couple of good matches, but nothing like NXT the night before. And Walter, who I don't know why is so popular, and in my own personal opinion, is just not that good, is eliminated right away, and the fans just lose their goddamn mind. You got Walter standing next to Brock Lesnar, and I'm saying, Braun Strowman, and I'm saying to myself, come on. Braun Strowman towers over this guy. He should be able to toss this guy around. Yeah, I know Walter's supposed to be tough. He can get in his shots, but he can't. He's not Braun Strowman. He's not supposed to be Braun Strowman. No, he is. He's just as powerful as Braun Strowman. Braun Strowman's career is over. I hope Braun Strowman saved his money because your career is over. Because you look about as much like a monster. Adam Cole is fiercer than you because apparently he can survive falls from tops of cages and come right back the next night and survive just as much stuff and not even be hurt. You get your big ass dumped outside, can't get back in. So who's the monster? Brock Lesnar can take nutshot after nutshot, double 619s by a legend. No problem. Braun Strowman lands on his ass on the outside of the ring. It's count me out, boys. Isn't that exactly what happened when he fought Tyson Fury? Isn't that exactly what happened to Braun Strowman? So Braun Strowman's now the count-out king. I get counted out every time I'm in the match. Terrible. Absolutely terrible. Kenau Reeves pins Randy Orton. For the people who don't know who Kenau Reeves is, that would be Matt Riddle. And then Randy Orton RKOs him anyway because, hey, why not? Ricochet was fantastic in the match. Should have lasted longer. We got the Baron Corbin, Roman Reigns thing we knew we were going to get. Seth Rollins is eliminated. Keith Lee pinned Seth Rollins. Keith Lee's a sole survivor against Roman Reigns. And, of course, the minute that happens, no sane person thinks Keith Lee is winning. So we know Roman's hitting him with a spear. So that's when the pay-per-view ends. There's no drama because everyone knows. Everyone knows where this is going. So was this a good match? No, not really. Did Damian Priest get a punch in? I think he just got in and just, boom, you got hit. Goodbye. 1, 2, 3. Walter did nothing. Just stands there and makes a face like who farted. That's what he does. I don't know. Maybe he's a very good trainer. I heard he's a very good trainer. But what he does in that ring, I'm not impressed with. I'm sorry. I'm just not. Say what you want. I'm not impressed with it. And last night he did not look good at all. And boy, did the WWE make him not look good. That's twice he's not looked good, by the way. So they don't think much of him either. Maybe NXT does, but Vince sure doesn't, because both times he's been on, he's not looked good. So I don't know. I mean, listen, fans were getting upset during this match. They were chanting CM Punk. They were chanting this is bullshit. They were chanting a lot of things, Mike. The fans were not happy with this match.
Right. They weren't happy with the match. And that's, I mean, look, is it any wonder, and I didn't say this on Friday or whatever, but apparently there are rumors that that Kairi Sane isn't happy and is just going to work through the rest of her contract and not come back anymore, not come back. You know, apparently there are rumors to that aspect. So can you blame some of these wrestlers when crap goes down like this, you know, that, yeah, I'm not coming back. You know, can you blame them?
No. And it's a shame because Kairi Sane is just starting to get into like a character that I think will be popular. Her new dress, her new look, that's great. Whoever did that, they were right on the money. The pirate thing was too, it was too Japanese anime. People weren't getting it. This was more relatable. It would work for her. Kevin Owens. Oh, I cleaned house at NXT. I was the big hero at NXT. I can't do shit in this match. Okay. That's fine. I mean, I just don't, I don't get this match, I guess. I just don't get it. I don't get how this helped anybody. Who's this help? Roman Reigns? Because Roman Reigns needs our help. Why? He's already your top guy. Let's face it. He's already your top guy. If you wanted something, it should have been Baron Corbin and Roman Reigns eliminating each other with double count out or something on the outside of the ring by going at it. You want the truth? And I'll tell you, this will probably surprise a lot of fans. You know who should have won? Ricochet. Because he should have been the sole survivor. Because if you had that moment where Baron Corbin and Roman Reigns eliminated each other, and Ricochet and Keith Lee are the last two people in the ring, you're going to be like, well, that's fucking ridiculous. That's a monster against a mosquito. And if somehow he could have pulled that off with just his agility and whatever, that would have done a lot for Ricochet's career. It didn't help Roman Reigns. How's that help Roman Reigns? He doesn't need your help. So I don't know why it was necessary for him to win. Okay, you don't want him to get pinned. I get it. Him and Corbin are going to be fighting all through the holiday season, so why don't you have them eliminate each other? Just poorly planned out. What's your thoughts on that match, Todd?
Like you said, Ricochet should have won the match. But at the end of the match, they had Roman Reigns and Keith Lee going at it. And that part was okay. The fans were... I thought I liked towards the end of it, too, and with Keith Lee and Roman Reigns going at it, doing fake finishes, false finishes on each other.
Yeah, I mean, it's false finishes, but you know who's going to win. There's no way in the world Keith Lee is pinning Roman Reigns. Not after he pinned Seth Rollins. Unless they're going to bring Keith Lee up right now. I mean, it's not happening. So it was anticlimactic because you're like, well, okay, Roman Reigns is winning. With Ricochet, you would have said, well, I don't know, maybe Keith Lee will win. He's only got to pin Ricochet. Ricochet's not unpinnable or anything, so, and he's, you know, 250 pounds lighter, he might not win. And then if Ricochet pulled it off, that would have went a long way. Let Kevin Owens stay in longer. What was this whole, can I trust you? Yes, you can trust me. What are we talking about? Nothing happened. Kevin Owens didn't turn. Seth Rollins didn't turn. What's this whole bullshit? It was nothing. Speaking of nothing, let's get to the final match, which almost put me to sleep. Almost put me to sleep. Bayley wrestled like she just ate a whole goddamn Chinese dinner. If she got any slower, It was disgraceful after what the women did in NXT the night before. Disgraceful, the pace of this match. And the reason is because that's the way WWE likes their matches. And Shayna Baszler don't know how to wrestle that pace. She reminded me of AJ Styles when Styles first came into WWE and he didn't get it. And I told you, well, this ain't working for AJ. He's not comfortable. He don't get it. And he admitted it later on. He said, you know, Vince called me in and said, we need this and that from me. So just tell me what you need from me and I'll adapt. And he said, once Vince called me in and told me what they expect from me and what they need from me, I got it. And I adapted. Shayna Baszler's not adapted yet. Shayna Baszler's looking around like, is anybody going to fight? Or why are we just standing here looking at each other? They did the old, I'll be outside the ring for a minute or two. So it's a one-on-one match. Then you be out. Because they had no real three-way spots planned. It was slow. It was anticlimactic. Shayna Baszler beats Bayley, and then Becky Lynch puts Shayna Baszler through a table. You heard the reaction, right? Fans are like, yeah, whatever. Whatever. You want to talk about putting these matches in the wrong order. You want to talk about anticlimactic. The last three matches in this event were so anticlimactic that fans were just like, whatever. At least the opening few matches had some drama to them. You weren't really sure who was going to win the women's Survivor Series match. You weren't really sure who was going to win the three-way match between AJ and Nakamura and Roderick Strong. You know, there was some drama in that. There was no drama at all in these last three matches. Just like, let's get these out of the way. You let Bayley, Becky Lynch, and Shayna Baszler main event the Survivor Series, and they put people to sleep. That's all I can say about it. When you compare what we saw Saturday night from the ladies with what we saw Sunday, it's apples and oranges. It's not even close to the same thing. It's not even close. It's not even the same universe. And it did nothing but underline the fact. You know what it made it look like? I'll tell you exactly what it made it look like. It made it look like Becky Lynch and Bayley are champions of a haphazard federation whose pacing is so slow and their wrestlers are so untalented and uninspired and passionless that anybody could be the champion. And what we saw on Saturday was people with a lot of passion and a lot of drive and a lot of determination fighting tooth and nail to get their 2 minutes of fame. NXT destroyed Raw last night, not just because they won, but because people had seen very clearly Saturday night in War Games what NXT is capable of. And then they watch what the NXT people do in WWE and they say, I don't want to see them in WWE. And I also don't want to see WWE because if it's going to be this slow-paced nonsense and these bullshit endings where Walter's just rolled up because he's a big fat nobody and, you know, all these people are just eliminated like they're garbage. That didn't happen in War Games. Took forever to eliminate somebody, right? It took forever to pin somebody. But in the world of the WWE, all these people are just 1 minute, you know, two pump chumps. I get a move, I get in another move, you pin me. I'm very pinnable. I'm easy to pin. Fans don't want to see him that way. That's why they booed. That's why they booed. Because what fans are seeing is, okay, you're just eliminating them. You're not even letting them wrestle. You're eliminating him. You're not letting these people wrestle. You're not letting them do anything. You show up, get your mug on TV, get your ass pinned, go home. You don't have to give the fans anything. You don't have to bust your ass. Where just the night before, we saw everybody busting their ass. If fans watched both of these, there's no comparison. There's no comparison at all. Three good things came out of last night, and none of them is really going to help. One is, it was great to see Sarah Logan back, and I really hope they push her. Two, I'm glad somebody got Kairi Sane out of the stupid pirate costume and into a more modern thing where she can actually look like, you know, she's a serious athlete. And three, Jerry Lawler was great. Again, if it wasn't for Jerry Lawler, I do not know if I could have made it through this pay-per-view. Because he actually made it sound more exciting than it was. There were times when I'm like, this is not really an exciting match. And Lawler would, you know, hype it a little bit. And I'd be like, oh, maybe, yeah, you know, what he's saying is right. Lawler was on his game last night. But I don't know why they're trying to make NXT look like the bad guys. Everyone. And if you don't believe me, did you watch the pre-show where Sam Roberts basically, as a bad guy announcer, as a heel, is saying, NXT is far superior than the WWE, and all their athletes are better, and the women are nothing compared to the women here, and they, even though these women went through hell last night and all these men, they're still better athletes than the WWE. Why do you have a heel announcer siding with NXT? For what reason? If you're a heel announcer, side with the heels. If you're a heel announcer, you should be siding with Bayley. You should be saying, oh, you know, or Shay, I guess you could side with Shayna Baszler, but you can't side with Rhea Ripley. I didn't think she was a heel. It's unbelievable. I guess NXT's a heel federation now. They're all heels. Until we want you to root for him again on Wednesday. We're supposed to forget that Rhea Ripley cheated to beat a girl that comes up to her waist. No, she's a hero. She's a stand-up, not afraid of anybody, get-in-your-face hero. Well, she wasn't last night. She was a coward who didn't fight until she had to. And then seemed to be afraid to get in the ring with a girl who's half her size. And then didn't beat her until two other people came down and mugged her. I don't get that. At least you let Keith Lee flat out pin Seth Rollins. So you say, well, that guy was legit. And Keith Lee at the end shakes hands with Roman Reigns. And that looks like, okay, he's a good guy. He gave his all. It wasn't enough. But hey, he doesn't have that much experience. Look who he's up against. He pinned Seth Rollins. And he couldn't get by Roman Reigns. So what? A lot of people don't get by Roman Reigns. Most people don't get by Roman Reigns. But he's not angry about it. That's the only good things that came out of this. The rest of the NXT guys look like spoiled crybabies or cowards or cheaters. And that's the federation you want everybody to tune into and root for? If you are a fan of Raw or SmackDown, you're sitting here today saying, I don't like NXT. All their athletes are, you know, cowardly, except maybe Keith Lee. I don't get it, Mike. I don't know why they did that to NXT.
I don't get it either. But, the guy that should have survived on that team to be the last guy on the SmackDown team. Yeah, Roman Reigns. But the guy that should have survived because of where they were was Ali. You know?
Yeah, you're the thought, right?
Now, that was a thought, but also one thing came out of the women's match that said, I want to see this, is the whole Kairi Sane Io Shirai deal.
Yeah, me too.
I
want
to see that match.
Yep, me too. Yep. But let me ask you something, Mike. We saw Charlotte Flair and Asuka go at each other and kind of turn on each other in the match, even though they were supposed to be teammates. We saw Roman Reigns and Baron Corbin go at it, even though they're supposed to be teammates. Didn't see anything like that with NXT. They all worked fine together.
Right. And that's the thing. I mean, yeah, we kind of expected the whole Roman Reigns, Baron Corbin thing. We kind of expected that. That was a given, right? So, yeah, that we expected. But we would expect that those people were not going to get along together. And look, the same thing for the Rhea Ripley and what you call it, you know. She's supposedly a bad guy, right?
No, she's supposedly a good guy.
Oh, wow. So I'm
That's what I'm saying. I don't get it. For God's sake, you had Shayna Baszler and Rhea Ripley there. Why didn't Shayna Baszler come down when Rhea Ripley's like one of the only – Rhea Ripley should have eliminated three or four people. Been looking like she's well on her way to beating Sasha Banks' ass. Sasha Banks should have been the one that was looking like, oh, my God, I got to get in here against Rhea Ripley, not the opposite. Shayna Baszler should have come down and put Rhea Ripley to freaking sleep over what she did to her on Saturday. And then they would have said, oh, my God, Shayna Baszler don't even care about NXT. She just hates Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley loses. Okay, and Shayna Baszler says, hey, after she handcuffed me, put me through the chairs and things on Saturday, F her. And then at the end of the night, Rhea Ripley could have came out, and her and Shayna Baszler could have went at it, and that could have led to either Becky Lynch winning by rolling up Bayley or Bayley winning by rolling up Becky Lynch, whatever you're going to do. But you now have furthered where fans are saying, these two girls are going to kill each other. I got to tune into NXT. These two girls are going at it. And I'm not even sure who they are. I didn't watch NXT before now. But, man, these two are brutal. That's how you get people to watch the show. Nobody turned on anybody. It's we're all lovey-dovey. We're all kumbaya. We're one all for one and one for all tonight because we got something to prove. Well, wouldn't the ultimate heel say, I don't give up. Frig about this federation. I care about myself. Well, that should be Shayna Baszler, who said, you humiliated me on Saturday night. I humiliated you on Sunday. And Rhea Ripley saying, I ain't taking that lying down. Wait till that bitch gets in there with a three-way. Then you've got a feud where people are like, well, I got to see that. These two girls are going to kill each other. That would have been fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. If he didn't want to do that, how come the Undisputed Era didn't come down and take out Tommaso Ciampa and his gang? Thought they hated him. See, you got to give us a reason to tune in. If you're telling us we're all one big faction and we're all kumbaya, we all get along, why should I watch you and believe you're mortal enemies on Wednesday? You've ruined even that. You had the opportunity to start a feud that carried over till Wednesday and beyond Wednesday on Sunday for the benefit of fans who don't watch NXT so that fans who don't watch NXT might say, hey, I think I got to tune in this week. I don't really know those two guys, but that looks interesting. What's going on there? I'm interested in the story now. Yeah, the opportunity to plant the seeds to get people interested in feuds that's going to take place in NXT. Instead, you said, no, I'm not going to plant the seeds. I'm going to make them all look like they're one big happy family. You can't tell the good guys from the bad guys. Unless, of course, you're an NXT fan already, which I would presume you want more fans. So I would presume you want to introduce them as who they are and what they're about. I'm mind blown by this. I'm really mind blown by this. By match number, not counting the pre-show, by match number three, I'm saying this could be a B-plus pay-per-view, B-minus. By the end of the night, I'm saying, Jesus, they've destroyed it. They've just destroyed it. They didn't take advantage of anything they should have taken advantage of. There's not one person, not one single person I have talked to that have not watched NXT before that said they will watch it Wednesday. Not one. All I got was, yeah, that Shayna Baszler, yeah, she looks tough, but it wasn't a very good match. I don't really know the rest of the girls in that other match. That wasn't a very good match. Okay. Well, there you go. You had the opportunity to present these people for who they were. Can you tell me with a straight face that if you don't know who Adam Cole is or what he's about, that you came out of that Survivor Series saying that guy is a heel, he's a heel character? Or did he look like a brave guy who was fighting through his injuries to try to retain his title? Why? Why is Adam Cole looking like a brave guy who's trying to fight through his injuries to retain his title? He should look like a cheater who knows he cannot retain his title against Pete Dunne, so he cheats. So he has interference by the rest of the Undisputed Era. So he does something dastardly. No. Nope. You're not promoting him as a heel at all. Not at all. So if fans see Adam Cole last night on Survivor Series and have never seen him before, they do not think he is a heel at all. And that is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. What's worse, they think Rhea Ripley's a heel. Well, she cheated. She looked like she was scared to get in the ring. And she's a foot and a half taller than everybody else. She must be a heel. No, this is the brave Rhea Ripley who got into Shayna Baszler's face and said, "I'm not afraid of you." The leader of the good guys in the women's division. Yeah, good job. Or maybe you wanted to say, oh, you know, the mighty Walter. He's as powerful as Drew McIntyre and Braun Strowman, and he's highly skilled. No, he just takes a Claymore kick to the face, and you're done. Fatso. So what does people think? Oh, just some big, dumb-looking fat guy who took a Claymore kick. Why would I want to tune in on Wednesday to see some big, dumb-looking fat guy who took a Claymore kick to the face and bit the big one? You blew it. You absolutely blew it. And I know in their own minds, WWE saying, oh, we really promoted NXT last night. We let them win. There's not one person that came out looking more interesting or that you fleshed out their character. Not one. Not one. Anybody want to tune in tonight because that Roderick Strong gave a performance you can't believe? No, it just came off looking like a third-rate Miz who picks up a victory on somebody else's dime and then runs. No point of tuning in to see him. Adam Cole and Pete Dunne? Well, I don't know either one of them, but apparently they're both good guys and neither one of them cheated. They're both brave warriors fighting through their injury. Nobody's the leader of a faction that's supposed to be the top heel faction in NXT. Oh, no, you can't promote that. Why would you promote that? I don't know. I don't know how you helped NXT last night. Just by giving them victories doesn't help them. What would help them is to flesh out their characters and show them in front of an audience that maybe aren't too familiar with their characters, who they are, what they stand for, and why you should be tuning in to see them. That's the reason that NXT should have been on Survivor Series last night, not just to pick up cheap victories. Anybody can pick up a cheap victory. That doesn't mean anything. Your real opportunity, forget the stupid, you know, wrestling hype. Your real opportunity was to introduce NXT athletes to fans who normally didn't see them and make them understand and feel what the character's supposed to be and what they stand for and who they are. So that you say, oh, okay, I get it. That guy's interesting. Maybe I'll tune in to watch him. Or that girl's interesting. Maybe I'll tune in to watch her. Didn't happen. Did not happen. In fact, there's probably people less likely. I want to see what the ratings are for NXT this week. Because NXT, if people watch the War Games, man, they were coming off a high. Huge high. And then they hit the battering ram called the WWE, who just brick wall, bam. So what's Walter's excuse? He didn't wrestle in the War Games, and he got his ass kicked. So, yeah, he's a big tough guy, right? Adam Cole can go through War Games and be put through a table from the top of a cage and can compete at a high level. Walter does not compete and is out in 2 minutes with a Claymore kick. There you go. That's not promoting anybody. It's just weird how they don't want you to know whether they're heel or faces. They're kind of like hiding it, like nobody's a heel, nobody's a face. It's all a matter of perspective. We don't have heels and faces. And then you tune in to NXT, and they most certainly do have heels and faces. But when they're in the WWE, it's no. Don't label them. What are you talking about? What the hell are you talking about? That's the only thing that's going to make fans tune in. How come you didn't start one feud between NXT people last night so that we would say, well, we have to tune in Wednesday to see what's going to happen with these two people? How come you didn't do that? You didn't promote NXT last night. You just think you did. That's how ridiculous your vision is. As long as they win, as long as it says 4-2-1 or 4-3-1, whatever it was, fans will get the message. NXT dominated. Yeah, but fans aren't interested in anybody that showed up in NXT unless they already know them. Because the fans who don't watch NXT, the ones you want to try to coerce to watch NXT, weren't interested in any of those characters because you didn't do anything to make them interested in any of those characters. Fans can't be chanting. And I warned you. I said as soon as Fox hired CM Punk, you're going to get the CM Punk chance back. We want CM Punk. We want CM Punk. We want CM Punk. For God's sake, get over it. Do you people go to a Metallica concert and say, we want Iron Maiden, we want Iron Maiden, we want Iron Maiden? I do not understand. CM Punk could have been in that ring last night if he wanted to be. He doesn't want to be. And he don't give a fuck what you think. My God, it's like a desperate guy keep calling his ex-girlfriend back saying, please go out on a date with me, please go on a date with me, please go out on a date with me, please answer my text, even though she hasn't in a year and a half. Are you that desperate? Triple H blew it last night with the NXT guys. Show us who they are. Have the Undisputed Era come out there and kick the hell out of Pete Dunne. Upside down and backwards because Adam Cole was too hurt to fight. But he had a backup plan, didn't he? And it's called the Undisputed Era. And when Pete Dunne was just about to win, here they come and they kick the freak out of the guy. So that maybe fans would say, ah, that bastard. I'm going to tune in to see if Pete Dunne gets any revenge on Wednesday. Or maybe you have Shayna Baszler come down and take out Rhea Ripley for what she did to her Saturday. And fans say, what happened with that girl? Man, those are two big, strong-looking girls, and they're killing each other. Maybe I'll tune in to see what that's about on Wednesday. You did none of that. Mike, a tragic mistake.
Right. And look, here's something else to think about. These three-way matches are supposedly no disqualification, right? So,
right.
Shouldn't in the last match of the night, shouldn't Shafir and Duke have been out there? They had every right to be out there.
Of
they
course,
they couldn't have thrown them out. It's a no disqualification match, right? And
of course,
you could have seen them interfere, and then of course you would have been able to say, well. Well, these two girls are the determining factor in the because nobody's here to help Bayley and nobody's here to help Becky Lynch, you know?
Right.
And these two, you know, they should have been out there. That's another failure on the WWE's part. Those two girls should have been out there. Yeah, they were walking throughout the back with with her, but they shouldn't have stayed in the back. They should have came out there from the beginning of the match.
And that's my point, Mike. Okay, Shayna Baszler walks like a heel, looks like a heel, dresses like a heel. But you don't know for sure because she didn't cheat last night. It's not like she cheated. It's not like she did anything to establish herself as a heel. If she had brought those girls out, that would have established her as a heel. Same with Adam Cole. Same with Roderick Strong. Are you going to tell me that fans wouldn't pop if Roderick Strong ends up getting some help from Undisputed Era and then the OC hits the ring to even it up and you've got the OC plus Nakamura in that ring against the Undisputed Era for a minute? That's not going to make fans go, oh, man. Now, why bother? We don't need to establish Roderick Strong's a heel. He's gonna do the little sneaky cheat to win. Here's the problem with that. Pete Dunne did it the night before, and he's a face. See what I mean about missed opportunities? You have all kinds of opportunities last night to make people want to see the NXT product. And you didn't establish anyone except for the possibility of Keith Lee. That's it. No one's going on and on today who don't know Tommaso Ciampa about, oh, that Tommaso Ciampa, I got to watch more of him. Nobody's saying that. Because he wasn't allowed to do anything that spectacular last night. Again, I'm talking about non-NXT fans. Nobody's saying, oh, that Damian Priest guy, he's interesting. No, he did nothing. He got his ass kicked. If you don't know who Matt Riddle is, you're just like, who's the long-haired guy doing Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure who just, you know, accidentally pinned Randy Orton and then got his ass kicked? Who cares? You didn't establish anybody last night. You didn't make people say, you didn't give them a reason to say, I must tune in Wednesday. I've never watched a show before, but man, you've encouraged me to do it now. You didn't do it. And that was your only job. So you managed to just about destroy Rey Mysterio. You managed to make the Fiend. You finally got what you wanted because the Fiend is basically not popular anymore. Daniel Bryan's more popular. You made the Raw people look ridiculous. You made the SmackDown people look ridiculous, and you didn't really do a whole lot for NXT. So I got news. This pay-per-view, which I thought was going to be a B+, is getting a D- from me. Mike, what's your thought?
I got to give it a D- as well. And furthermore, why, if you missed a chance, all right, with the whole, we didn't know who NXT's team was going to be. Abso-freaking-lutely, you should have had, as part of that team, everybody in Imperium. Absolutely.
Would have helped. At least you could have established them, or you could have brought in another star of some kind, that you had something big, use it to introduce somebody who's coming to NXT. No, no. Why bother? Todd, what's your rating?
D-.
It's an abject failure. Not because the matches were so bad. Some of the matches were okay. But because of wasted opportunity. Horribly, horrible wasted opportunity. Unforgivable wasted opportunity. And the fact that the night before we saw an A+ pay-per-view and you couldn't pull it off with the same people. That's what frustrates me. It's the same people and you can't pull it off. How come Kevin Owens is over there wrestling like he's found the fountain of youth and he comes out last night and he looks like he's got a load in his pants? How come? I don't know, folks. We'll see what Monday Night Raw brings and we'll be back here tomorrow with the Monday Night Raw report. You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.